to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but refuse, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an sample or example, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we unite in prayer? Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for another day, another opportunity to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship and love him. We thank you for each one who is saved, and we pray if one be not saved, young, old, or wherever in life, that one might receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We never know when one might believe and receive the Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll give each one a good week, keep each one safe in the precious arms of Jesus, and work in each one's life for the glory of the Lord. We'll be careful, we trust, to give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'd like to continue along the same line tonight. I remember when I first started speaking some years ago, I remember I got up some cards and I wrote some things on it. It's a big old stack of them. I mean, it's a real thick stack of them. And I went through all of that and everything else, and I think it's 5 or 10 minutes. I don't recall the exact time it passed by. And I'd said everything that I could think of possibly to say. But you know, the more we would look into the Word, the more we see the Lord's Word and enjoy His Word day after day. There's so much in the Scriptures, you can never exhaust them. And so much there, so many goodies, as we would say. And so we just like to look at this in some more light and see the things of the Lord. Now, notice Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you know, as we think about this, forgetting those things which are behind, it's good to rejoice in the Lord. I hope each one of us is happy. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. That's the only way you can really be happy. That's the only way we can really rejoice, because things, situations, and circumstances won't always be that one could rejoice. You know, I don't ever say, well, the car broke down, praise the Lord, do you? I don't know, I haven't come to that way. Or the refrigerator's gone, you know what I mean? The roof's gone and everything like that. And there are a lot of things that it's difficult to rejoice, but we can rejoice in the Lord in everything. And in every way, Paul tells us to do it. He said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. He is speaking, we believe here, of those who were teaching false doctrine, those who were saying you could be saved by keeping the law rather than by grace. He goes on to say, for we are the circumcision which worship God, notice, in the Spirit. And notice it says again, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, as we think about this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's man's sinful nature. We're all sinners, and dear friend, we're saved that know the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's remember that we're still in this body and we still have to deal with some of these things. I told you some years ago, just after moving down into the area where we are, that I learned how the old flesh, the old nature, is still there, because a man in the parking lot of a mall kept blowing his horn at me to get out of the way, and I had a perfect right to be there. He was just rushing me on. So I just pulled out in front of him and poked and poked, and I looked back there, and he was about to go crazy, you know, and I just enjoyed it. And then I said after that to my wife, did I do that? She said, yeah, you did it. I did it. But, you know, I've seen that. That's the flesh. And I realized that after being saved for years, and you can go weeks, months, or years, and nothing like that will ever bother you. But, dear friend, the flesh is still there. And it can come out very easily and very simply. Paul is saying he has no confidence. No confidence whatever in the flesh. And let us learn in our lives, and think about it in the things of the Lord, we can never have confidence in the flesh. The flesh will always fail us, and it will always fail in every way. Whatever comes, it comes of the Lord Jesus Christ, His power, His love, and His work, and we can rejoice in Him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now look at Paul's record. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. And look what he says. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe, notice these choice tribes, Benjamin and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. And you know, the Pharisees, the Lord condemned their legality and many things like that. But there are also many things I noticed that I didn't know about the Pharisees. And the fact of many things, looking at it the other way, there were things about them also that one would admire in the Pharisees. But they were like all of us. They were lost. And they needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I was a Pharisee, looking at his heritage in all of that way. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, Paul could never forget that he persecuted the people of God. And he thought he was doing the right thing. Remember that, dear friend. There are a lot of people that are unsaved. And you can't reach them, it seems. You cannot touch them. A lot of times they just don't understand. Let's pray for them. Long that they will come to know the Lord. Paul couldn't understand how he persecuted the church. He says, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Notice he says, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And he said, to die is gain. You know, that's a real statement, isn't it? When you think about that in this life, which is so small, so short, Paul says, to die is gain. And oh, dear friend, as we look at it, we'll one day be better off. Amen. In Christ and with Him throughout all eternity. What a joy and what a future that we have in the Lord. He said that He counted all things. What things were gained to me, rather those I counted lost for Christ. Everything, nothing really mattered as to living Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice Christ Jesus my Lord. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And oh, as we gather, two or three gather, we gather in His name. For He is Lord. That's the wonderful thing of it. And He is Lord of our lives. Oh, we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Him tonight. He said He had suffered the loss of all things and to count them but refuse that I may win Christ. And I think Paul was thinking there of reward. He was thinking of the winning Christian life in the sense of reward and really living a life that really counts for Jesus. You know, we can as a Christian be mediocre sometimes, or we can as a Christian really live the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's really live for Him and go all the way for Christ. But then he says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. I like that. Dear friend, tonight we say we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We have His righteousness through the precious blood. And that's the only real righteousness that we can have. And it's in our precious Lord. And it says the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's by faith in Christ. And he says not only that he would gain, but it also says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And his death is thought there in the sense of being made conformable to his death in the sufferings of life to the glory of the Lord. Now, we can rejoice in the Lord, but it's not easy to suffer in the Lord, is it? But oh, if we can give the Lord the glory, give him the praise, that is a real testimony, a testimony unto our Lord. He wanted to know Christ in a better way. If by any means I might attain or really arrive at the resurrection of the dead, I think again he was thinking there of the reward in Christ for every believer will be raised. But it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, forgetting those things which are behind, and in a present reality reaching forth unto the Lord Jesus, in a present way forgetting those things which are behind. Now, we have said some things to forget. To forget our sins. Our sins are under the blood. The Lord doesn't remember them. And we should not remember them. You know, many a time the devil will accost you about sin. Oh, he'll bring it up and he'll say, you mean to tell me you're a Christian and you haven't even read your Bible today? You mean to tell me you're a Christian and you haven't even had any faith and you haven't even looked to me in any way? And on, the devil is the accuser of the brethren and he will accuse you. But you know, thank God for the victory. Jesus gained the victory and he defeated the devil. And dear friend, our sins are taken away. And in the cross of Christ, there was the victory. There is the power. And we have our penalty taken away. The penalty is gone. Golda Mae has had two court appearances this year. I've never been called for a court, but I don't know how they choose it. I know it has something to do with the roles for the voting, but we went through that and went down to Pittsburgh with her and the fellow pleaded guilty. And so that one worked out all right. There was no jury. And then lo and behold, she got called just a month or so ago to a federal court. And there were three federal courts, one in the middle district there, one in Greensboro, one in Durham, and there was one in Winston-Salem. And we got the one in Winston-Salem, of course. And we went through that, and it was interesting, but oh, it's a lot involved, isn't it? But you know, when I think of those courts, I don't particularly enjoy them. I wouldn't like to be in one as far as a penalty is concerned in any way. But thank God the penalty has been settled. Jesus paid the price, and I can see it come forth now, not guilty. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of Christ, our Savior, not guilty, and we are free in our wonderful Savior. But dear friend, we also have victory as far as the power of sin is concerned. And let's remember this, you and I have victory over sin. And dear friend, as a Christian, you can live and I can live with victory over sin. Now, there's no such thing as sinless perfection. If anybody tells you they never sin, I just say don't believe it, because that's just not so. We all sin through omission, commission, and all those ways. We all fail and we all falter in many, many ways. But let's remember this. We have the power to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's never make it easy, but let's really seek to go on for the Lord. One day, as far as victory is concerned, we'll be away from the very presence of sin. We'll be with our wonderful, wonderful Lord. Let's forget our sins. And of course, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe 1 John is talking about fellowship there. Fellowship in the Lord. And as far as our fellowship is concerned, all the joy of walking with the Lord. And, you know, it's good to keep short accounts in your prayer life before the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've noticed a confession. It means to say the same thing. It means to agree with the Lord. And in the context, it marks out what kind of a confession we're to make. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, it says the Lord Jesus. And if you can make a confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is with the mouth. But it can be used in the sense of with the Lord, in the agreement with Him. And as we come in that light, dear friend, the fellowship in the Lord is wonderful in that light of 1 John chapter 1, but that is another story. Secondly, we said to forget self. And one of the great ways of victory for the Christian is it's not I, but Christ. Christ who lives in me. And what we're talking about here is doing the Lord's will. I found this as a Christian, if you're too busy doing your own will, you won't have much time for the Lord's will, you know? And I found that the most important thing in power in the Christian life is to get in line with what the Lord wants you to do. I try in the things of the Lord so ever. Whatever I'm asked to do, I try to do it. Because I feel in this light, in this way, the Christian life is living for Him. Not to live in the light of what I want to do so much, but what would the Lord have me to do? And where would He have me to be in that light? And you know, it's so easy for the flesh to get in the way. The flesh to push that out. But to forget self is to put Christ will first. And I believe in youth, in any part of life, is to put the Lord first. And I found this, dear friend, the Lord's will is always the best way. I tell you, the Lord is no man's debtor. You go of the Lord's will and the Lord's way, and He'll bless you. Some years ago, I always enjoyed living in Victoria, Virginia. The phone rang, go to me. I was out walking, she called me, I came in, and there was a telephone call, and wanted to know if we'd be interested in moving down to Siler City. And I'm an old car here, but I'll tell you, I like Virginia. I do. I like it a lot. But in that area, I didn't want to leave it. But every block that I threw up, it seemed like the Lord took it down. Well, the Lord can't sell the house. Put up the sign one day and sold it the next. Man, the Lord speaks to you, doesn't He? Well, I can't move. You know, it costs too much to move. Man comes by and says, I'll move you for $300. You can't beat that, can you? I mean, just one thing after the other. And so here we are. Here we go. I was reminded, I heard a lot of preachers in my day. Now, young people, I can sympathize with you. I've listened to as much preaching, I believe, as anyone did, because I was saved when I was 6 years of age, and all my life I've listened to preaching. I've heard it time and time. And when I was real young, I slept through some of it, but I think it still did me good. But I remember hearing R.G. Letourneau speak one time. He says, you know, one time my wife said, we need to go to the basketball game because we need to see the boys play basketball. He said, oh, I don't want to go to the game. I think he was more of a genius, and he was always into his work from what he had to say, building road machinery. He said, I don't want to go to the basketball game. So I said, let's go to the basketball game. So he said, when we got to the basketball game, he realized it won out, and they went to the basketball game. But you know, one thing, all in life, we can realize this, to do the Lord's will, to do what He would have us do, that's the best way, God's will. Let's forget about self. But we must hasten on to what we have to say. Thirdly, we need to forget our shortcomings. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something that I find very easy to do. You know, we wonder about shortcomings, and we might say, nobody has them but me and thee. And sometimes I wonder about thee, just saying it in a joking way. We can see others' failures even better than we can ourselves. Have you ever seen something somebody's done, and you wonder why they do it? And then you stop and think, well, I've done the same thing many a time. You know, so you stop and you think and you look at it in that way. And when you look at it in your own light, you excuse it, you know. Like we say, well, he's stubborn, but I'm just steadfast. You know what it is? We can make our side look good in it. But, dear friend, at the same time, we need to forget our shortcomings. We will have failures in life. I'm sure we've all had our share of failures. Amen. I'm sure we've all failed, because everyone fails. You know, Henry Ford was very successful, but before he was successful, he went broke, I read. Now, that's something, isn't it? They talk about Babe Ruth. He's the great home run king, and we have many of them today. But, you know, Babe Ruth struck out far more times than he ever hit the ball. He struck out a lot of times. And today, many of those men, they strike out so many, many times. There are always failures in life. And then I believe it was Edison, who tried an experiment. And he wanted to this experiment in the invention that he was trying to make. He tried 100 things, and they all failed. And his assistant said, let's just give it up. We've tried 100 things. Edison said, well, we found 100 things that won't work. He said, so now we can really go ahead with it. You know, dear friend, we can forget about our shortcomings in the sense that we cannot let failure hurt us, in the sense that we do not want to go on with the Lord. Everyone has failures. Everyone has trials in their life. Oh, all things will have their problems and their trials, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Let's keep on keeping on for Jesus. Amen? Let's keep on for Jesus. Someone said a big shot was just a little shot that kept shooting. You reckon that's true? But you know, I think it is a lot in life. Just keep on for Jesus. I noted in my Bible something I had written in the front of it, and I'll share it with you because it has touched my heart. Someone said, rubs, snubs, drubs enter into the experience of all. No person is trouble-proof. No person is carefree. No person is an exception. No mill, no meal. No sweat, no sweet. No pain, no palm. No thorn, no throne. No cross, no crown. Dear friend, in the Christian life, there may be times when it's very hard. There may be times when it's very difficult. And may I give encouragement to our hearts in our assemblies and in our meetings. There may be times when it's difficult. There may be times when we want to do things and it may be hard to do them. And you know, it seems to me, now I don't know whether this is true or not, but it seems to me it's not as easy to get people out today as it used to be. Now, I don't know that, but I think back in some other years where There's so many things to keep people busy today. But let's never be discouraged. Let's forget about our failures. Let's forget about our shortcomings. And let's go on for the Lord in power and in might. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, some people, though, won't ever let you forget their mistakes, will they? Your mistakes, rather. But they will theirs, but not yours. And so forth. But let's forget them anyway. I remember I preached sometimes when I thought, Lord, I'll never do it again. Everybody that's spoken very much, you know the feeling. You know what it is, where it's very difficult. But then you may be just around the corner from some of the greatest and most wonderful blessing there is in the Lord. In our homes, in our lives, everything we do, let's our health and things of that nature. Let's forget as much as we can our shortcomings and realize there is victory in the Lord Jesus. Someone said, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. We go on for the Lord Jesus. I remember during college days, the college president was always saying, V.R. Edmond always said, it's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit. Keep on for the Lord. Keep on going on to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless the efforts for His glory and in His way. We need, dear friend, to forget our shortcomings, the times that we have failed, times when things have been very difficult. And remember, we have the victory in the Lord Jesus, in His will and in His way. Now we're to forget our sins, we're to forget self, we're to forget our shortcomings. But you know, it may be surprising to say this. But you know, dear friend, there's something else we need to forget. And you know what it is? We need also to forget our successes. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, he said he was reaching for, he was pressing on to other things. Now, I think the thing that Paul is talking about, if we would take successes and we would always revel in that, if we would always think about that, we would not be looking ahead and we would not be going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all of us in our Christian lives, I suppose, have times of great victory, times when we do not read the Word or pray as much as we might should do it, or don't have the interest that we have at other times. But let's remember this in all of it, success or failure, we can be like Paul. We know how to be abased and we know how to abound. And we know how to look to the Lord and praise Him. I remember a time in my own life, and I say this because it was all to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all to His praise and glory. But I remember a particular period in life, in a younger period, when the Lord opened up a lot of doors. And I remember He gave a lot of liberty in a lot of places, just all about the country. And I remember as I saw some of these things, and the only reason I mention it is this, it was all the Lord. It was all His doing. And the Lord gave many blessings during those days. He always blesses, but at times, sometimes more, and sometimes less. But you know something the Lord spoke to me about that during those days? Times of success can be some of the most dangerous times to you in life. Because there's always the temptation not to give the glory to the Lord. But now the Lord taught me in my life, and I've never had any trouble with that ever since. I don't believe it. It may crop back up. But I remember on one occasion, the preaching with liberty, and then remember the next time, somebody might as well have put marbles in my mouth. I think that I could have put a handful of marbles in my mouth, and it would have been just as easy. And I thought to myself, Lord, I get the message. Lord, I get the message. Everyone that has spoken knows that that's no fun, you know, to be able to feel it just won't go. It just won't come. I said, Lord, You're the one that supplies the power. You're the one that gives the help. And I tell you, when I do look in the Word, I realize it's only the Lord. Only the Lord can bless. Only the Lord can work. And in success or failure, we can give the Lord the praise. Dear friend, and this goes to everything. Now, I don't want to quit preaching and go to meddling here, but I want to apply this to every way of life. You know, any success we have in life, whether it's with our families, whether it's in business, whether it's in our financial life, or whatever we do, whatever we're able to do, where do we get it from, dear friend? We got it from the Lord. Where do we get any abilities? Where do we get anything that we can do? The Lord gives it to us. And the Lord blesses us in every way. Somebody said one time, joking to me, you reckon you'll amount to anything, Tommy? Well, I don't know that I have, but I don't know that I will. But I do know this one thing. In the Lord Jesus, you can praise Him, and anything that has been done in His name, anything that has been blessed of the Lord, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Oh, dear friend, let's give the Lord the glory. I hear a lot about preachers, this one can do this and this one can do that and so forth. You know, I mentioned I'd heard a lot of preachers in my day. I could just go down and give a list of them. I've heard so many of them all my life. My father was a preacher. They've come into our home. I have heard them all my life. But I know this, preachers can preach with great power, but I've heard some of them when they couldn't. And no matter who they are or where they are, one thing that I realize, it comes from the Lord. Dear friend, if you win souls, if you're blessed in your life, if I'm blessed in my life, in your home, or whatever you do, it'll be because of the Lord. It will be His blessing. In school, out of school, whatever we do, we can give the Lord the glory. And what success the Lord gives us, let's praise Him for it and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. One man said he was a self-made man. Somebody else said, well, at least you can't blame the Lord for it. But you know, I tell you, there's no such thing as a self-made man, because everything that we have, every good gift comes from Him and from the Lord. When the Lord gives us victory, let's forget about it. And in the light of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, let's turn to that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And I think this emphasizes the reaching forth unto the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and also verse 17 and 18. Now, dear friend, this is what we're supposed to do and go on in the Lord. Notice we read, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Now, we know the things of the Lord. It says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Not fall from your salvation or anything like that, but fall from your own steadfastness. And then notice the contrast. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. And notice the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. For everything, to Him be glory, both now, right now, and forever. To God be the glory for everything. Let's use every ounce of strength we have for the glory of the Lord and for the blessing of the Lord in every way. Oh, dear friend, forget our sins, the self, shortcomings, our successes, as well as failures, as we have brought out. You know, I want to say something else about something we need to forget. Something that we need to really forget. Now think with me tonight, because dear friend, I think this is a very, very important thing. You know, I want to say this, forgetting those things which are behind. And as I say this, let me say also that some things are going to take weeks or months. Some things are so terrible and so hard that it'll take a long time. But whenever we can, we need to forget a certain thing. And you know one thing we need to forget? We need, dear friend, to forget our sorrows. As much as we can, we need to forget our sorrows. Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae was in the Canadian Army, and he died in France in January 28, 1918 on the Western Front. We say, well, what does that mean? One of the most famous poems came from Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, and he said, "In Flanders Field the poppies grow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the lark still bravely seen fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field." I read that poem because to me that has some of the sadness and the sorrow of this world. It's kind of like that song, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" There's a certain pathos about it, a certain sadness of life. And you know, there's a lot of sadness in life. There is a lot of sadness in life. That's the only thing I hate about reading the paper. There's so many sadnesses in life, things that you can almost not erase from your life. And dear friend, we all know there are some sorrows of which it would take years of what one never gets over. Didn't you one time how in 1982 our daughter was in an accident and the doctor didn't give us any hope for 48 hours. And I tell you, in that hour, I learned something. When you look over the verge and you see it there and you see the possibilities of what would happen, you're never the same about it. You realize what can happen and how much you have to really praise the Lord for and how much you can thank the Lord for. And sorrows can be really something that can come and eat upon our heart. But at the same time, dear friend, as much as we can forget the heartaches, the headaches, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ella Wheeler Wilcox wrote, "Laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. For the sad old earth must borrow its mirth, but has trouble enough of its own. Sing and the hills will answer, sigh and it is lost in the air. Rejoice and men will seek you, there are none to decline your nectared wine, but alone you must drink life's gall. There is room in the halls of pleasure, but one by one we must file on through the narrow aisles of pain." This is a world of sadness. It's a world of sorrow. It's a world of pain. But we think of the Lord Jesus tonight. The one who went to the cross of Calvary, was nailed to a cross. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The one who knew what it was, in like passions, to suffer for you and for me. And we look to the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Visit down in our area, a lot of sick people, a lot of suffering people. And I've learned I don't ever say I know how you feel, because I may not know how they feel. But I know one who does. So far as we can in life, life has its bumps. And life has its problems and its trials. And all of us have had some things in life, some bumps in life. Have you had them? I guess everyone has had bumps. As much as we can, let's forget them. And dear friend, as much as you can, keep smiling. Amen. Keep on being happy in the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory, because the world has so much pain and the world has so much sorrow. But if you can smile for the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, dear friend, it'll be a joy. I saw or heard, I believe it was, of a hospital that said, had a sign on it. It said, "A smile now, you may not be able to later." Well, I don't know if they were talking about the bill or what, but whatever it was, dear friend, if you can keep smiling for the glory of the Lord Jesus, oh, I hope life never whips me or beats me down. I'd like to go out smiling, you know, whenever the Lord's time is, whatever that may be, victorious and happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, I want to leave with you these thoughts, and I hope they'll speak to your heart all the week, forgetting those things which are behind. If you're saved, you can forget about your sins. If you're not saved, I trust that you will be saved. You and I need to forget self, and not I, but Christ liveth in me. We need to forget our shortcomings, and they are many. And let's forget those failures in that way. Let's also forget our successes in the sense of let's not glory in them, but give God the glory for everything that we have. And as life meets out its sorrows to us, may we rejoice in the Lord and come to Him. Father, we thank You that we can forget those things which are behind. Father, there may be someone here tonight that's not saved. May that one believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him as Savior that all of their sins might be taken away. Roll away, may every burden of that heart roll away. And we pray if there be a Christian here who is still fretting and worrying and still has some false or counterfeit guilt, we pray that they might have a sense, that full sense of forgiveness that they have through the Lord Jesus Christ, and their life might be filled with the joy and the victory of that. We pray that it might not be I, it might not be living for self, that we might live for Jesus, living for Jesus, a life that is true. Father, we have all of us many shortcomings. May we forgive each other of them. May we have love in our families for our failures, and may we be understanding of each other. But may we forget our failures and the failures also of others. And then we pray that we might, whatever success we have, not glory in it, but give God the glory. Father, there may be some here tonight who had in the past many sorrows. And we pray that if we look to the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the one who bore our sins and our sorrows, who went to the cross of Calvary, may that grace help us and lead us on in the way, forgetting those things which are behind. May we continuously do it, and may we continuously be reaching for every day of our lives in prayer, in the Word, in soul winning, in worship, in knowing more about the Lord Jesus in every way. For His name's sake, Amen.